Now let's move on a little bit further and look to the end of the Bible this time, into the book of Genesis. The questions come up here. Question here. What are the differences between the two beasts of Revelation? We'll look at that. One is the false prophet, of course, and one is the Antichrist. And who's the dragon anyway? Okay, so let's go to Revelation, to find Revelation, and go to chapter 12, would you? Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. In chapter 12 of Revelation, you've got different characters here. In chapter 12, you've got a woman in verse 1. She has a child in verse 2. The other sign appeared in heaven, a great red fiery dragon, 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. You can see in verse 4 that this dragon had many, many years ago dragged down a third of the angels from heaven. So we know who he is now, don't we? He's Satan himself. Then it says the woman bore a male child. That's Jesus, of course, because the woman is Israel. The woman can't be the church. The church didn't give birth to Messiah. That's very clear. So we've got here this person who is to rule all nations, verse 5, with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That's the ascension, of course. Now, it didn't relate to all the details, all the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. It had already been written before. So he deliberately missed all that out. Now, you've got here about the woman, Israel. The woman fled into the wilderness, had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 42 months in the Jewish calendar, and 3.5 years. That's the second half of the Great Tribulation, and Israel fled to Petra. Now, you can see in verse 7, there's a war in heaven. That's between verse 7, between Michael and his angels, the good angels, Michael the archangel, and the dragon. And the dragon's the devil, Satan. And his angels fought. Well, that's the ones that he brought down from heaven right way, way back in history. And they did not prevail. Michael won and his angels. And the great dragon, verse 9, was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil. Now there's your answer. Verse 9 is your answer. The dragon is that serpent of old, the devil. And Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast out to the earth, finally, not from the present heaven above us, but to the earth. That's for the awful times on the Great Tribulation. And his angels are cast out with him. They're the demons, of course. So there's the woman, the child, and the dragon. So we know who the dragon is. Now, what about the beasts? Okay, we'll go to the next chapter, 13. And you've got two beasts mentioned here, though one is a false prophet. In chapter 13. But you notice, please, in chapter 12, when we were there, that this dragon himself. Look in verse 3 of chapter 12 again. This great fiery red dragon, Satan, had 7 heads and 10 horns. Now we go back to Daniel later, if we have time. Now we see in chapter 13, there is John, and he saw a beast rising up out of the sea in verse 1 of chapter 13. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. On his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. This is the Antichrist, of course. The political Antichrist, you might say. And ultimately, he will have control of the world of nations. You can see 10 horns. On his horns, 10 crowns. So they're ruling people. Now we'll go to chapter 17 in a moment. So here is Satan in complete control of the world and the nation's leaders, especially when this is divided up into 10 regions, and each region will have a ruler, and Satan is ruler. Notice who this beast is. Look at verse 2. You can see he's like a leopard, his feet like a feet of a bear, and his mouth like a mouth of a lion. It goes back to Daniel. We won't go into that for now. The dragon gave him authority. So this is Satan's man. His power, his throne, and great authority. Now, Satan is called the God of this world, as we know, but only by permission. He can't do anything except it's in God's program. He may not realize it, but that's it. And you can see this dragon gave power to the Antichrist. You can see that at the end of verse 2. And we find a bit later on down, there's down to verse 8, verse 7. He opened his mouth, blasphemed against God in verse 6. Blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who are in heaven. That's us. Verse 7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints. Who are they? Tribulation saints and Israel. And those saved among the Gentiles in the great tribulation. And he says, he was given authority over every tribe, nation, and each language, each tongue, everyone. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. That's the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, and so on. And then that's the Antichrist, the political beast, in control of all the nations in the Great Tribulation, especially the second half. The first half is a false peace, which deludes the nations and Israel by the Antichrist's false peace, 3.5 years, first half. Second half, he gets nasty. But now in verse 11, we've got another beast coming up. He's a religious beast, working with the political beast, Antichrist. This is a false prophet. I saw, verse 11, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, trying to imitate Jesus, the Lamb of God, but he spoke like a dragon. There you are, that's his real person. Tried to cover it up by being like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. He let himself down. He exercised all authority of the first beast, very much in harmony, in his presence, and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. He was a false prophet, encouraging the world to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. We won't go into that. He performs great signs, verse 13, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, which you know Elijah did. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth, verse 14, by signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast as well. They work together, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. And you can see verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. Image of the beast should both speak and cause the manners who not worship the image of the beast to be killed, and so on. He causes all, great and small, everybody else to receive a mark of the beast on their forehead. You can see that. Verse 17, you know about this. No one may buy or sell except one has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, 666. So the false prophet, religious beast, when the temple is rebuilt, maybe not far off, the false prophet, who may well be Jewish, we don't know. The Antichrist may seem to come out of the Roman Empire. Go back to Daniel 9 to see that. But here you see that, as we have in Daniel, it is revived Roman Empire leading to the world of 10 regions. Now go to chapter 17 with me, would you? In chapter 17, in chapter 17, verse 12, Revelation 17, verse 12, the 10 horns, remember that Satan wore the 10 horns, and 10 crowns, because he's in control of the nations, and also the Antichrist has power. 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet future, still our future. But they have received authority for 1 hour or a short time as kings with the beast, working with that person. They have one mind, verse 13, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. And when the second coming comes, they'll try and fight the Lamb. So these are the world rulers, 10 regions. You've seen a chart, or I might have shown you a chart of the regions of the earth, the nations of the earth, divided into 10 groups. I've got a chart from this from back in 1973 under the Treaty of Rome. And the nations divided into 10 regions, all named. So that's happening there. So these 10 horns, 10 rulers, ruling the earth under the Antichrist, they give their power, their allegiance, their loyalty to the Antichrist. They'll rule with him, and they have one mind, give their power and authority to the Antichrist for a brief period, for 1 hour, for a short time. So there we have it. So we know the dragon is Satan. The first beast is the political Antichrist. The second beast is a false prophet who encourages the placing of the image of the beast in the rebuilt temple, which is yet to come, and it will. It's interesting that even today, they're making robots who can actually speak. So we're not far off from this, are we? As incredible as it may have sounded back in John's day, AD 96, it's not so impossible today. In fact, amazing, if you go on a bus, as you come to different stops, you find a woman's voice telling you where they are, where you are, each road. Also, if you pick up the phone, dial 1471, you get a female voice telling you what the recent number was. That's not a woman. You know that isn't. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. So we could go back to Daniel. I think we'll do that. I don't know how much time we've got left. Perhaps Robert, give me a bit of a signal. If you go back to Daniel, please, with me, would you? Back to Daniel. Go to chapter 7 of Daniel. In chapter 7 of Daniel, now we find here that Daniel is given the vision himself of the beasts. And very similar to the dream or vision to Nebuchadnezzar of the big metal man, except for his feet. In Daniel 7, verse 6, one like a leopard. You can see that. One like a bear in verse 5, one like an eagle in verse 4, four great beasts, each having different from the other. When you go down to verse 7, again you saw a night vision, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, huge iron teeth, devouring, breaking pieces, trampling resolute with his feet. Now that, of course, was the original Roman Empire, but, now look the rest of this verse, 7. It was different from all the beasts that were before. It had 10 horns. Now, the old Roman Empire didn't have 10 rulers. They had one Caesar at a time. But here you've got 10 all ruling together at the same time. That's not happened in history. Now, all the Caesars, only one at a time in the Roman Empire. This is future. Revived Roman Empire. Out of the revived Roman Empire comes probably the Antichrist, who then ruled the whole of the earth as well. And you can see that's possible, the 10 horns mentioned, and now verse 8, the little horn. I was considering the horns, you wonder who they were. And there was another horn, a little one, coming up from among them, before whom three of the first horns are plucked out by the roots. We won't go into that. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous or blasphemous words. Then you've got the vision switched to God in heaven, the Ancient of Days. And he watched. Now go down to verse 11. Daniel 7, verse 11. So he sees all these visions given to him. I watched, verse 11, because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, and I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Wow. 600 years before Jesus, 690 years before John wrote the book of Revelation, we have Daniel told what would happen to this beast, the Antichrist, cast into the lake of fire. Interesting that, isn't it? Now, I think what we'll do, if you go to the end of chapter 7 very quickly, to verse 24, here's the explanation. Daniel 7, verse 24. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from the kingdom, the old Roman Empire, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones. He shall subdue three kings. That was mentioned earlier in the chapter. That's the Antichrist. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, that's the tribulation saints, and he wants to change times. But then verse 26, the court seat of God's going to judge, and the kingdom is going to be handed over to Christ at his second coming. Now, what about chapter 9? Go to chapter 9, finally. Chapter 9, glorious chapter. Right at the end is the 70th week, from 24 to 27. We know in verse 25, Messiah, the prince. That's one prince. Now, if you go down, please, to verse 26, there's another prince. Messiah shall be cut off and he dies. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war, desolations are determined. People of the prince. Well, that initially was the Roman destruction in AD 70. But the same prince will come out of the revived Roman Empire, and he will be the Antichrist. We know his end. Finally, look at his end and the false prophet's end in Revelation 19. Go finally to Revelation 19. What does Jesus do with him? Revelation 19. There's a battle of Armageddon, of course, at the end. Look in verse 19 of chapter 19. I saw the beast, kings of the earth, their armies, gathered to fight the Lord. Verse 20, here it is. The beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. That's the end of them. First beast, political antichrist. Second beast, the false prophet, cast alive into the lake of fire. The only two to be cast alive into the lake of fire. Others are resurrected from the dead. Well, there you have it. I think you've got the answer. We know who the dragon is. We know who the first beast is. We know who the second beast is. We've identified them. Antichrist, political beast. False prophet, the second beast. Who may well be Jewish. We don't know. It's interesting that he has easy access to the temple when it becomes rebuilt again, we know. So I hope that's a bit of a help in that sense to get the answers out to this one. So we look at next week, we'll spend the whole 30 minutes on something which is very important, the dispensations of the Bible. What are they? What is the essential teaching of them? Is it important? Yes, it is. Robert.